we're going to start off with a little study in the book of Romans, part 22 out of 47. And a lot of people, I'm sure y'all here and some of us in the room here may not be decided yet on which way this goes, but you hear even grace teachers say that the gospel for today is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, it does say thou shalt be saved, but the thou isn't you. And that's a conflicting gospel if it's our gospel. Because it doesn't match, I mean, it matches the gospel of God, but it doesn't match the gospel of salvation for us, the gospel of Christ. So there's nothing in there about him dying for our sins. And Paul is very specific when he gives the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sins is the heart of the gospel. So as we look at in the scripture, let me just say that Paul writes to a variety of people, and when he writes the Roman epistle, he goes through the epistle and he specifies the type of person that he is then focusing on at that part of the letter or the epistle. And in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul addresses the entire epistle to all that be in Rome, and that's quite a wide variety of people. As you go through the epistle, we fit in there in some places, but not in Romans 10. He tells people of their need of salvation in the epistle. He tells God's provision for that salvation, and he tells people they need to live a godly life. Not just, he says, God forbid, should we sin then because we're not under the law? God forbid. We're to live a godly life. Then he tells us God's provision for that, how we can live the godly life in Romans 6, 7, and 8. So Paul gets to chapters 9, 10, and 11 as he wrote, he didn't write down, well, this will be chapter 9, and now we'll get to chapter 10. No, he wrote it, and it was divided out later, wisely, I think. He tells them what happened to Israel. Israel is the prophetic, all through the scriptures of the prophets. And God is going to, what's the wording there, for the obedience of faith among all people, I think it is. God is going to bring that to pass for people to obey after we're caught up to be with the Lord. The Old Testament prophecies. So, he tells why God is not working through Israel anymore. He would. I mean, it was Israel that blew their chances, for the time being anyway. So let's start by getting the whole picture. And we're going to do some reading and some commenting. Starting in Romans 9, verse 30, tells pretty clearly what happened to Israel, and going through Romans 10, verse 17. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, let me just break in. Just like with the word thou, that if thou shalt confess, that's a pronoun. The Gentiles is not a pronoun, but there are different groups of Gentiles treated differently in different parts of the Bible. So you can't just assume that that's us, because it says the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness. even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Did you see that? Not by faith. Faith is important to God. And they had the works, but not the faith. But as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, this is verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling block, stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Going into verse 1 of chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So there would be a good use of knowledge, right? Not the kind that puffs up, but if they had believed what they'd been told in the prophecies. Well, let's go on. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Who does them, though? Who has been faultless in doing the law? That leaves everybody out except the Lord Jesus Christ. The man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And here we get a reversal, a negative. Say not in thy heart, and we'll come back to this point here. But the negative part, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? So he starts off and he says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And down in verse 8 he gets to, what saith it? It speaketh on this wise, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Well, that narrows it down some, doesn't it? Paul preached. Okay, well, What was Israel supposed to believe? That involved faith. They were to believe in the Messiah, that he was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Son of God, risen from the dead. They were to have faith in that. And we call it the Gospel of God because Paul calls it that in Romans 1:1. But he narrows it down to that because Paul also preaches the Gospel of God. And so we know that he's not saying you should have believed the kingdom gospel. They did. They just didn't believe the king. So remember back in what we read a few minutes ago, Romans 9, 31 and 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Well, that fits right in with Romans 10:6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So in Romans 10:9 and 10, what faith? You can see what faith Israel lacked. That's what Paul is saying, that they lacked it there, and that if thou shalt confess Now, Israel had fallen already by here. He's not telling them to go ahead and do that. He's not preaching to Israel. He's talking to the Romans about Israel. And this is what they missed. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, they're past the salvation that would have offered, that offered as it was preached to them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They would have been saved into the kingdom if they had received the kingdom. But as you look at it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, so, and believe in thy heart. So believing, this can't be our gospel. We're not to believe and speak certain words with our mouth. That's not our gospel. Well, he gives a reason here for who it applies in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, if Israel would have, that's what they lack doing. They failed to do. Had they done it, it would have brought in the kingdom with the salvation of the kingdom, the millennium. Of course, they had to go through the 70th week of Daniel still, but they were given an unction and good advice how to do that in 1 John. Romans 10:11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The scripture saith, that's in prophetic scriptures. It's talking about the prophecy program. Whosoever believeth Israel's gospel, including verse 9 up there, Romans 10:9, confessing that Jesus is the Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead. The gospel of God. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, again, here come the Greeks. That's a particular segment of non-Jews. No difference, and people grab a hold of that and say, see, there's only one program in the Bible. But if you look, I'm trying to think of the exact verse. Let me look for a minute here. Hold on. I think it's Deuteronomy. Does anybody have that verse handy? Let me just see here. 31:26, I think. That's not it. What is it? 28. That's not it. Okay. Lunch break. Let me. I got myself into it. I'm not gonna be long here. Let me get the wording that I want. No, 32:21. That's what I was looking for. 32:21. Thank you for your patience. 32:21 saith. This is, remember, it's the Old Testament. It's prophetic. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. And I will, that's those, the Greeks were not a people. They were not Grecians. They were those that followed the Greek culture. and sought after the wisdom and knowledge of God. And then he goes on and he says, I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And those who he was addressing, the disbelieving Israel, thought that the little flock of believing Israel was foolish. So at that point, you have a prophecy that God is going to use Gentiles to call, or to provoke, actually, provoke Israel to believe. Welcome to the room. And that's the very same Gentiles that Acts 26, 18, I think it's 16, 17, verse 17 talks about. It's not all Gentiles. It doesn't say all Gentiles. Acts 26, and we'll get back to the study then. Yeah, if you read the context in connection with the verse, it says the word Gentiles there, but it's talking about this, what was prophesied. That's the first Gentiles that were preached to by Paul, and they were to influence disbelieving Israel, give Israel another chance to believe. Provoke is the word used in Scripture. Provoke them unto jealousy. Hey, I want what they've got. They've got faith in God. So, let's see. We were down to 14, I believe, was it? There's no, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And that was Israel's duty. They were to believe the covenants. They were to confess that Jesus is the Lord and call on the name of the Lord. It's not our gospel. Even though it's written by Paul, he's talking to Rome, all that be in Rome, about Israel and why they're not in the way of being saved today. We come to God through faith alone, faith that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, rose from the dead, having died for our sins. So, we were at 14, verse 14, Romans 10, 14, four verses, I guess, here to go, and then we'll get back to the study. This is relevant, though, what Paul is talking about. And when, how shall they call on him? He's talking, the they would be, he's not talking about us, obviously, when he says they, that pronoun obviously refers to Israel that he's been talking about. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? They were disbelieving, and God was calling them back to belief. Welcome to the room. Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And that's the word used in the New Testament, at least in Paul's. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the word sent is used more than the word commission or commit, which is translated send. But you see it more often send than commit or commission. So, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Last verse, verse 17. So then faith, so he sums it all up. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Take God at his word. If you lack faith, if you're doubting, worried, get into the word of God. Read it, study it, ingest it. Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So we're going to look in the middle of that section of Romans 10, starting with 9, 10, and 11. We're going to look basically at 10, Romans 10, and verses 5 through 13, 6 and 7 stand alone, kind of. 5, 6 and 7 are the ones that say, don't say it this way, you know, and 5 and 8 say, or 5, beginning of 6 and 8, say this is the right, how's it go, the righteousness of God speaketh in this wise, I think is the way it's worded. Romans 10, 5, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And then you get to verse 8, and it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Remember now that the thy is, it's not you and me. He's talking to Rome about Israel and what they should have responded to. The word was in, you know, if the preacher is standing there, he'd say, the word is in thy mouth, Israel. And in thy heart, what word? That is the word of faith. Believe that Jesus is your Messiah. Believe that he rose from the dead. That's what they failed to believe. They crucified him, thinking he was a fraud. And Paul goes on to say, identifying that what they are to have faith in, it's also what Paul preaches, not just what Peter preached. And what the only thing that they both preached was the gospel of God, not a gospel of salvation. Israel's gospel of salvation was preached by Peter and had to do with the kingdom and on ruling on earth. Paul's gospel had to do with faith without works, being justified by believing that Christ died for our sins. Nothing about a kingdom in there. All right, faith is not the gospel. Faith is not the gospel. When he's talking there about the word of faith, he's not saying the word of the gospel. He's not talking about the gospel of faith. It's the word faith. Who lacked faith? Jesus Christ had, just like he had done while on earth, Paul identified Israel's shortcoming as not having faith. You know, over and over, that's the emphasis that the Lord makes. Remember when he healed one of the only two Gentiles that he dealt with in his earthly ministry, he said, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in all in in all of Israel. That centurion. Well, in spite of their keeping the law, they didn't have the faith that God wanted from them. God wanted their faith first, and the works to be the result of the faith. Look in John, the fourth book of the New Testament, John 5, 43 to 47. John 5, 43 through 47. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, whom you trust. They claim to trust Moses, and yet that's what they're falling short of. Moses, Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19, they were to believe the one that the Lord would send, and they simply didn't. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Verse 47, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe me, believe my words? So early on in Christ's ministry, he identifies Israel's lack of faith. And he aims at that and encourages people to believe. And a few do. Look a little later in Matthew 23, verse 23 and on. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And there you got it, faith. That's what they were missing. These ought to have been done, and not to leave the others undone. In other words, don't try to trade them off. It's all part of the same law that they had agreed to. Matthew 23, verse 24, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Matthew 23, verse 26. Now, blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them also may be clean. May be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Remember that iniquity is religious idolatry. It's going against the Lord. It's not just, breaking one of whatever laws there were at the time, you know, having your hair too long or too short, or eating pork or whatever. Maybe eating pork is not a good example, because that was part of their religion too. But it's going away from God. It's not so much the idea of lying or lust or things like that. It's religiously going against what God says, making yourself vulnerable to the beast, for them that are still going to be here when he's identified, that religious system. But it's idolatry. It's putting something before the Lord, basically. We can see that what Israel lacked, it was the word faith. Well, let's continue on. Starting over in that passage in Romans 10, verse 8, but what saith it? So here's the positive side of what the righteousness of God says. The word is in thee, thee being Israel, Israelites, singular, each one responsible at that point. By the time Paul wrote this in Acts 20, the nation was no longer offered the kingdom, but there were still some that... Well, let's go on. That's for another lesson. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Again, Paul preached the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, raised from the dead. And so he goes on and he says, that was Romans 10:8. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt Israel being thou, spoken of here, Paul is telling which good news Israel had failed to believe. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, that's the gospel of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's still telling all that be in Rome what Israel heard and failed to believe. You know, the preacher told them, confess that Jesus is the Lord. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. The resurrection, the lordship, I mean the sonship of Jesus and the messiahship of Jesus. Those three things that should have identified Jesus to them as the one sent from God to bring in the kingdom. Only the little flock believed. So that's the specific faith and work of faith that Israel lacked and needed. Going on to verse 11 in Romans 10. For the scripture saith, and Paul is quoting the Old Testament scripture, which is to Israel, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In other words, God won't disappoint Israelites who trust him. And going on to verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's a work calling upon him. It's generated by faith, belief that God can help them, but they needed to call upon the Lord. That's what they were charged with doing. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, that's to Israel. It's to all that be in Rome about what was preached to Israel that they failed to receive. Okay, they failed to believe it. And it's not Paul preaching salvation to Israel. It's too late for that. The reason he's identifying what they missed is so that those that hear Paul's gospel of salvation will realize that Israel's gospel is not in the way anymore. It's not a conflict of the two. Paul does go on in Acts 13:39 to compare the two systems and how much better the gospel of the grace of God, or the gospel of Christ, that Christ sent down from heaven and saved Paul by, how much better that is, and more complete a salvation than Israel's. It says you are justified of all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So all those things you couldn't be justified from under Moses' law, Israel's covenants, etc., you are justified from by believing the gospel that Paul preached, that Christ died for your sins. How can they be held against you when Christ already paid, took the wrath of God against those sins and paid that penalty? The wages of sin is death. Verses 31 and 32 of chapter 9, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are still people that think Israel's gospel is in the way of Paul's gospel. They think they try to justify it, saying, well, they're both really the same, they just emphasize different parts of it. No, believe the words on the page. It's simple. If you believe God, it's clear. If you try and make excuses to hold up somebody, some man's religion, some man's philosophy, it's not going to work. It's not God's authority. The Word of God, the words on the pages are God's authority. So, Paul was informing all that be in Rome about salvation, about living godly, and here in what we're talking about tonight, what happened to Israel. And in showing to all that be in Rome what happened to Israel, Paul quotes Joel, the prophet Joel, who was preaching to Israel to finally have faith to call on the name of the Lord, call on Jesus as their risen Messiah. And here you can see it, Joel 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Deliverance from the 70th week of Daniel, Jacob's trouble. That's what that section is about, starting in 20, well, that whole chapter, actually. As the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Well, in Romans 10:14, how then shall they, Israel, how shall they hear, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, you notice that's future tense, not is, but shall be saved. But according to Joel 2, verses 28 to 32, we read 32 a minute ago, that applies to the last days. In the last days, he says so in, I guess it's Peter that says so about it, in Acts 2:28, I believe it is. So, Israel shall not be able to call if they have not believed in him, in the Messiah, Jesus. And they cannot believe in something that they have not heard to believe in. Without a preacher, how shall they hear? How shall they preach except they be sent? So it does limit who can call on the name of the Lord to those who have been preached their gospel to. Depending on which gospel they hear, they believe it and are part of that group of believers receiving the promise of that particular gospel. Whether it's the ones that are waiting to be saved when Christ returns under Israel's program, hearing the gospel of the circumcision, or those who are saved right now, at the time they believe, having believed the gospel of salvation that Paul preaches. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Believe on him to eternal life, life everlasting. So notice that the passage says nothing about Christ died for our sins when you're looking at Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Or that Christ was raised for our justification, raised on the third day. So we're now, it's not the gospel of Christ that Paul preached that we're talking about here. That's the gospel of our salvation. The gospel of Christ became known as the gospel of the grace of God after Acts, after the Acts period, the introduction dispensing of the gospel. Let's look through Scripture to find a gospel that matches the conditions. We're trying to match those certain qualifications there in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Firstly, confessing with their mouth, which is a physical act, it's a work. Secondly, believing in their heart that God resurrected Jesus Christ. Well, as you look in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, there's a match. Romans 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, that's loaded there. Concerning, it's talking about Jesus, it says he's his son. Concerning his son Jesus, he's the Messiah, the Christ. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, the royal seed, the Messiah would come from, according to the flesh. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God. There it is again, it's doubly emphasized. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. So it includes the sonship, the messiahship of Jesus, and his resurrection from the dead. Doesn't say, believe this and you'll be saved, does it? There's nothing in there about salvation. It's not a gospel of salvation. So, the gospel of God consists of believing that Jesus is declared to be the resurrected, prophesied Christ, the Messiah. And you don't see any promise in there about salvation or being saved or gonna be saved, shall be saved. So, comparing Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, with Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, in Romans 10, compares to declared to be the Son of God, from Romans 1, Gospel of God, he said it was. Remembering that Lord is a title of God, and we find that confessing him to be the Lord Jesus is the same as declaring him to be the Son of God, not just a prophet of God. And next, believing that God hath raised him from the dead in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that compares equally with by the resurrection from the dead in Romans 1, verse 4. He was declared with power to be the Son of God in Romans 1, the Gospel of God. So, Romans, we're getting close to closing here. The Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, Gospel of God, is the same good news as that in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, which Paul says is what Israel failed to believe to receive their Messiah. Even though it was nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith. Of course, the wording is different, but the same elements are present in each passage. Paul does not say in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, that the gospel of God saves anyone. It's not presented as how to be saved. It's presented as God's identification of who Jesus is, and in fact who they were to look for when Jesus came. He would be easily identified as all these he was to be the Son of God. The Messiah is mentioned in the Old Testament, Daniel 9. The son of I'm trying to think where the son is mentioned. I think it's Psalm 2:7, is that right? Or 16:10. One of those. He is mentioned though as the Son of God. And the resurrection, of course, is throughout. Starting with Job. What is it, 1925, I think. The gospel of God alone saves nobody. Israel they would have been receiving their king and their kingdom if they had additionally believed the gospel of God. added to that list of other things that Israel was called on to believe and to do as the gospel of the circumcision. So that's why Paul can say at the end of that Romans 10, 9 and 10, let me pull it up again here, hold on. 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not a gospel of salvation, but it completed their works, their circumcision, their observing the Sabbath, their keeping the law, believing the covenants, all these things they had to do. Not just, you know, some of them were beliefs, but some were works they had to do. If they didn't do it, they weren't in right relationship with God, justified. So, but that's why, you know, having done all these things and believed the gospel of the circumcision and all those, the covenants and commandments, etc., then had they believed what Paul is talking about here in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that would have brought their salvation, unto salvation. It's not salvation, it's unto salvation. I'm done.